Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's an honor for me to be here sharing the word of God. And I thank God for all that he has done. He's been good, isn't he? So for today's meditation, can we turn our Bibles to Psalm 23? And I have, requested Timmy to do the Psalms reading today. Can you come up? Go ahead.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over.
Oh, surely.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And all the days of my life, my cup runs over.
It's okay. Finish it.
Dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you, Timmy. Thank you. So, it's been some time since I abandoned the book of Psalms. Let me be very clear what I mean by that. I stopped meditating on it. I stopped reading it. I was like, it's not something, you know, it's too much Psalms in my life at one point, right? She gave up. But recently, the book of Psalms has been bringing a lot of comfort, and I'm seeing things in a whole different way. The reason why I say that is, let me give you an understanding. Like, so who doesn't like a ribeye steak with some mashed potato and A1 sauce? Right? In a heartbeat, you will say yes. But if I decide to feed you 27 years, three times a day, every day, for 27 years, would you still like it? So that's what happened with me and Psalms. So growing up in India, the church we grew up in, like the denomination, we gave a little bit of, little too much importance to the book of Psalms. You know, they really loved it. So in a Sunday service, you have a Psalms reading and a message from that, and then the main sermon, right? So there's two sermons in a Sunday. And in family prayer, the shortcut is the book of Psalms. So when you are praying over somebody, they will read from the book of Psalms. So it got to a point, I was like, you know what? I'm done with the book of Psalms, right? Now you'll be like, why am I saying this? The reason why I'm saying it is, because I've came across a lot of people who say, oh, I can't stand that song. And it's a beautiful song. It's because somebody played it way too many times on the radio, or somebody played it in their car too many times. They kind of give up on certain things. What I want to remind you today is, now that I'm going back in the season of, a lot of doubt and a lot of question mark in front of me, I'm going back and finding this, the amazing comfort from the Word of God, from the book of Psalms. So if you are, I'm not going to read the book of Revelation. I'm not going to read this particular Old Testament, or I'm not going to read this because I can't understand, or whatever may be the reason or excuse that you make, I will strongly encourage, it's time that you need to set aside the framework you have made up, but revisit, let God speak to you. Now, coming back to the Psalms 23, how many of you know it memorized? Majority of the people. This is a song of David. It is considered as the Nightingale of Psalms. It is considered as a medicine to an anxious heart. So today's message is specifically for people who has anxiety issues. David, who wrote this song, was a shepherd when he was young. And then he went to become the king of Israel. This is a man who had a lot of ups and downs in life. You know, as a young shepherd, he killed a lion and a bear, right? He killed Goliath, which who challenged the entire Israel for, you know, so many days, but nobody was willing to step up. And this kid decided to, you know, face the Goliath. He has so many victories in battle. He has so many ups in life. At the same time, this is a man who had to pretend he was mad in front of a king to save his life. This is a man who have committed murder and adultery. Basically, he broke 4 commandments out of 10 in one sin. This is a man who went through so much in life, and he gained, you know, a tremendous amount of experience to write this psalm, which has very deep meaning in it. And he was considered, after all this, he was considered as a man after God's own heart. Nobody knows when the Psalms was exactly written, but scholars believe that it was not when he was young, but much older, when he had experienced the goodness of God, and he has seen repeatedly what God has done in his life. So, it's a very famous Psalms. Like, if you ask anybody, people have heard of it, right? Growing up in India, as soon as the child starts speaking, this is the psalm they usually teach. I still remember, you know, people trying to tell me, Mone se Yehova ende idayanagunu, eniki muttundagella. That's in my language. That means the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They've been taught from a very young age the psalm. I taught my son, but I feel in this day and age, I think Psalms 1 is more important than Psalms 23. So I taught him Psalms 1 first before I taught him 23. If you have kids, I strongly encourage these two Psalms. You know, it's a good thing to teach our kids. Let them memorize it. There was a man who was very successful in life. He grew in his career to be the president of the company. He had everything that goes with this position. He reached the pinnacle of his career. Yet, he was a nervous, tense, and worried man. He had no happiness in his life. So he has this constant meeting with his doctors and, you know, physicians. And after some time, one of the physicians said, "Hey, why don't you go meet with a minister in a church? I think, you know, I suggest that you go see someone." So this man comes to Dr. Charles Allen, and he says, "You know, hey, I have these issues, and, you know, I don't know, nothing makes me, you know, comfortable. I'm always anxious all the time. I've taken different prescription. I've always punctual with my prescription. And, you know, nothing seems to work." So Dr. Allen takes a piece of paper and he writes something down and gives to him, saying, "This is your prescription." And the prescription was Psalms 23. And he's supposed to read it 5 times a day for 7 days. Morning when he wakes up, second after the breakfast, after lunch, after dinner, and before he goes to bed. And he has to do that for 7 days. And he made it, he insisted he do it as prescribed. Because there are people who's like, "Oh, I don't have time, so I'm going to read it 5 times in the morning and then leave it for, you know, go on my day." Then he made a very valid point, like, would you take your medication just because doctor prescribed, you'll take all your medication in one go and it's like, you know, I'll wait for it? No, you do it in a certain interval. In the same way, Dr. Allen recommended, "Hey, you need to take it as prescribed." And what he says is, it yields a very productive results for anyone who followed it. So it is considered as a very powerful piece of writing in history. In fact, there is a book named God's Psychiatry, written by Dr. Charles Allen, which is based on the psalm. And let's dive into it, why this is considered so important. The first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It comes from the experience of David. And he summarizes the entire Psalms. He summarizes his whole life. He gets to a point, he says, you know what? I don't want anything else. I lack nothing. I think NIV says, I lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. In today's day and age, the idea of shepherd is very different because of the commercialization and how we do things. It's a little different. But back in the olden days, in the biblical times, the relationship between the herd of sheep, a sheep and the shepherd was very profound. It was had a very deep relationship. Because it's usually the sheep is herded usually away from towns in a distant area wherein the shepherd is, you know, it's sometimes it's a group of shepherds all by themselves and the sheep. And it's a dangerous job. Sometimes there is wild animals who is trying to come and snatch. It's a risky job. And the shepherd has provided everything for their sheep, putting his life online, leaving all the comforts of life he could have in his town or home, and he's giving that care and comfort to the sheep. So David paints this beautiful picture, and it's not the first time that the analogy of shepherd and sheep is used between the relationship between God and his people. If you have a chain reference, you can see, you know, different passages where we show that God is our shepherd. And he really paints a very good picture. In fact, John 10:27, it says, "My sheep," Jesus says this, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And there is so many other passages Jesus quotes about being, "I'm a good shepherd." There is so many verses he quotes himself as a shepherd. It's because people did understand what that relationship looked like or what a shepherd did in those days. I don't know how many of you have seen that YouTube video, "Do sheep only obey the master's voice?" Did anyone see that video? Somebody did an experiment, I would call it, random people will go in a pasture, like they will call the sheep, you know, they'll make the sounds, they'll try to imitate what the shepherd makes the noise, but they don't even turn back and look. Everybody, like different people, try different ways. But when the shepherd comes and calls them, they all turn immediately. And then they come to the shepherd. And I was like so astonished by that, that the sheep, who is not considered the very smartest animal, who is a stubborn animal, who is, who needs a lot of care, knows and understands the master's voice. The shepherd's voice. So the psalmist, David, who being a shepherd, summarizes the beautiful relationship in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and just because he is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I don't want anything. I have everything I need." Sometimes we get confused with our needs and wants. And I have developed that bad habit recently. I started using the word, "Oh, I need that. No, I don't need that." And I wondered where Timmy picked up that from. Then I realized it was me, right? So nowadays you need something, you know, you want something. You say, "Oh, I need that. That will be so comfortable. Oh, that is so good. That is a beautiful piece of equipment," and so on. We say this week. Bible says God should supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, do not quote that verse and say, "God, I need a Rolls Royce." No, you're not getting one. Whatever God gives, He's a shepherd. He knows what you need. And He gives what you need. And sometimes take away the things that you want. Let that sink in for a second. Sometimes He would take away the things that you want. Ezra, who is 1.5 years, you know, sometimes he go try to grab a knife. He wants the knife. It's shiny. It looks nice. And everybody else in the house is using it. I want a knife. But as a parent, I know it's going to hurt him. Though he wants it, I know that is not what he needs it. When you're raising your children, what do they want to eat? Chicken nuggets and chips and all the bad things you can think of. That's what they want. But as a good parent, would you always give them what they want? If you do, we have a problem. You shouldn't, because you give them what they need, what they need for their growth, what is best for them. Sometimes the kid may not like it, the vegetables, the broccolis that they have to eat, but it's good for them, right? In the same way, the Lord is our shepherd, and He provides. Jehovah Jireh, He provides. And the verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. As a shepherd, you know, grazing the sheep, he will usually start early in the morning before the sun, the Middle Eastern sun, gets too hot. Because the sand and the stones and everything will like burn up because it's so hot. So the shepherd takes them early in the morning and then feeds this animal. And sheep is a very timid animal, right? It's cannot lay down unless it knows it's safe and comfortable. Unless it feels safe, it will not lie down. And David is painting this beautiful picture that the shepherd's care and providing, he takes them, graze them, and then before the sun comes, before it's hot, nice, comfortable, moist pasture is where they lay down and chewing the cud. And he leads me beside still water. Again, sheep is a timid animal, as I said. Very anxious. Is scared of flowing water. If it is a rough flowing water, it is scared of it. Scientifically, they can swim, but they are not, somebody is like, ooh, water, let me go swim. No. The woolen coat is heavy sometimes. That they are afraid of water. The noise it makes. So what the shepherd does is, he usually, if it is a flowing water, he'll cut a channel. And he'll bring the water or build a dam around and like make the water still for the sheep to be calm and go there and drink from it. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. When a sheep is anxious, usually they follow a line, you know, it's a herd and they know its place. And when they are, the shepherd will go, carry them, hug them, you know, be with them and calm this animal down. He restores. For in the life of David, he's a man who have seen the highs, who have seen the providence of God, who have, you know, with too much zeal, he served God. He wrote songs for God. Yet, he fell in sin. When he committed adultery, the murder, and then the prophet Nathan came. This is the man who wrote Psalms 51. You know, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. He cried out to God. He said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit in me. cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. When he did that, God restored his soul. He's a man who have experienced the restoration in his life. So in your walk, and he says, for his name's sake, and he leads in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's mainly because of who our shepherd is. It's his nature to be the provider. It's not based on the sheep's qualification. It's not based on who we are. It's because who God is. Sometimes we feel like we have gone too far away from God. No. He is still pursuing you. He is still trying to restore you. In the path of righteousness, showing the right way. You know, we just finished a book of Romans as a church. I don't have to give you a sermon on righteousness. We've read so much about that in that book. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know how many of you have been to Jeff's office. Have you seen the rod and the staff there? I'm not a big props guy, so I didn't, you know, I kept telling him I'm going to bring it out. But, you know, I don't know. So maybe that's not the most accurate rod and staff. Maybe that's why I didn't bring it out. So the rod and the staff, it's two things that the shepherds carry when they, you know, herding the sheep. And one, the rod is a shorter, thicker, heavier piece of wood that is used to defend from wild animals or, you know, it is used to defend the sheep. And then it has a staff, which is a little longer and has a curve on the top. So when they go to the valley, so when the shepherd takes their sheep from one location to another, sometimes they go through these valleys, which is a little darker and, you know, not the best place for a sheep to be, because it's a very vulnerable position in the valley, because the predators has a higher advantage from up. But the sheep is fearlessly going, their comfort is the rod and the staff that the shepherd has. What does he do with the staff? When the sheep gets stuck or climbs up where they're not supposed to or needs to some help, the shepherd will use the curve to help them get back on track, will help them lift them up. So then the sheep knows that the shepherd has the rod and the staff. And because of that, they know that their shepherd is with them. And they're fearless. Not too long ago, Jeff did mention one thing which really stuck me. And he said, it's not, you know, if you will, you know, you will have storms in your life. You will, if you are accepted Christ, you will definitely have storms in your life. It is guaranteed that you will go through some valley of the shadow of death in your lifetime. As a Christian, as a believer, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, you will go through some valleys in life. But understand this, sometimes it may feel like your shepherd is not with you. That's because of our human nature. But he's always there. And that should be your comfort. Know that he has his rod and he has his staff. Sometimes he might use the rod to give you a little nudge and say, hey, 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 not that way, this way. You prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. So verse 5 onwards, it's very interesting because some of the Bible scholars believe that this verse, being a king, this is a picture of a host and a guest, and how God being our host and we be the guest. Some of them believe it's continuation of being a shepherd. And Dr. Allen in his book writes, painted a very beautiful picture that really, really, stuck with me. He says this, there is a lot of plants that is not good for sheep, like thorns or poisonous plants and, whatever that can harm the sheep. So the shepherd will, the previous day, will go to the pasture that they're going to bring the sheep next day. He will go out and pluck out all these plants, all these weeds, all that is dangerous to the sheep, and he'll create this pile over in the corner. So for a sheep, it is a table before in the presence of for their enemies. Who is their enemy? These plants and weeds that is can harm them. And when they are grazing, they look upon it and say, you know what? My shepherd cares for me. And when there is flies or anything coming, they would put oil over the head of the sheep to keep all the flies and all the, whatever the parasites growing, and, just as a medicinal, they put the oil over the head. At the same time, in the context of a host and a guest, in the olden days, when the guests would come, they would anoint the head with oil, wash the feet. It was all certain cultural aspect. And, sometimes it has, perfume in it and, it smells good. My cups runs over. It talks about the providence. Like it's like I'm running out of my cup. No, because when they pour the wine, they give in abundance. It's showing about the abundance of God. And the next verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In English it says follow me, but the root word translated, it actually means pursuing something, actively going after something. So the God's goodness and mercy, understand, it's not of our merit. It's not of what we have done or our qualification. It's constantly. And David is that man who have, experienced in his life the goodness of God every time. Like, he had so many bad things happen. His own son was trying to kill him for the throne. In all that, he have repeatedly see God's goodness and mercy. How many times have God been faithful to you? How many times have you experienced God's goodness? How many times you have seen the mercy of God? If you take a moment to think about it, I can go back and count all my life, like what God has done, the blessings after blessings after blessings in many, many ways, his protection. I still remember, God reminds you things in a very, very interesting way sometimes. Back in India, common mode of transportation is motorcycle. It's not a recreational vehicle at all. It's a daily commuter vehicle. So I'm going on my motorcycle. I was a very... very good with my helmet. I always wear my helmet. One day, I'm going behind this truck, and I lift my lid, and I'm driving behind this truck. A stone flies out of that truck and comes so fast and hard and hits right under my eye. It hurt badly. If it was half an inch above, I would have been a pirate by now. Right? One-eyed pirate. But it reminded me immediately, the thought that came to my mind was, God, how much you are in control of my life. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't caring. I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't even know this stone existed. I wasn't even paying attention about that. But God knew it. And he just sent it 1 inch lower, like half an inch lower, just to remind me that his mercy and his goodness is, you know, following us. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. David is making this final statement. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Because it is better to, you know, dwell in the house of the Lord than anywhere else. That is where the joy and the peace and the comfort that we need. Again, let me reiterate. Pastor Jeff is emphasizing repeatedly in different series, like, you will have trials. You will have tribulation. You will have problems in life. But the joy that you carry, it's because you know who your shepherd is. You know, next time you're worried, you don't know what is going to happen next, you know, you're feeling anxious, put your hands on the chest and say this, "Meh." It means, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? If you can take something away of today, this is the three things I want you to understand. The Lord is your provider. Matthew 6:8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Don't think he don't know what you need. My kid doesn't have to come and tell me, "Dad, I'm growing out of my shoes." I see his need. I know it. And I provide for him even before he asks. If as a human we can do that, imagine the love, the God who is love, how much he loves you and how much he provides for you. He knows it even before you ask. So the first thing you need to understand is God is your provider. And if you follow him, number two, if you follow him, he will lead you by his grace. But you have to make that decision. Sheep is a very stubborn animal. It's timid, it's stubborn. That is why it's repeatedly you'll see that theme in the Bible, comparing the people of God to sheep. We don't want to listen. We want to do our way. That is why sheep get lost. It doesn't even have a good sense of navigation. It doesn't have the greatest eyesight. It has its own limitations, yet it does things that, you know, it's not supposed to do. It wanders away. And we do that sometimes. But if you decide to follow him, he will lead you by his grace. Amen. The third, when you fall in your sins, he will restore you by his mercy. Just because you screwed up doesn't mean you walk away. It simply means you need to go back to the shepherd who is going to restore you. Philippians 4:6. To 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. It's repeatedly, 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 anywhere you open, it will say, do not be afraid, do not be anxious. God will provide. Because I'm in my season of, you know, I'm a man who have seen God's providence in life repeatedly, day after day after day. You know, the verse that always gets me is Psalms 37, verse 25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his descendants begging bread. My dad was a pastor. And he served God. We didn't have a source of income. There's no job. There's no fixed income. We did not know if there was food next day. We grew up in that, yet I have seen repeatedly God's providence in my life. And this verse says, I've never begged for food, never in my life, had to go and leave, put your hands out and say, I'm hungry. We may not have the most comfortable everything. We don't need it to be. But we have seen the faithfulness of God. A few months ago, I lost my job. But I wasn't worried because the business we started was picking up to a point. It was providing for me. It was everything was growing great. And I was like so much looking forward to grow it. And, you know, at the point we were even thinking about, okay, who do we hire next? And one fine day, the market, you know what the condition is, we lost the client. And I am seeking God, what is next? In this moment and this time, God has provided. God has provided day in and day out. Everything we need is provided. Please understand, it's not the providence of just the physical things of food, shelter, clothing. It's also the spiritual needs, the comfort, the peace, the joy, and everything that comes with it. And as the word says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's pursuing me day in and out, along with this providence. I sometimes fail to understand. Maybe our different experiences are different. I sometimes fail to understand when some people are like really anxious about things. Can you add one more day in your life, or can you reduce one more day in your life? You're serving a God. The Bible says he counted the hair in your head. He knows when it falls down, when it turns gray. He knows everything. And we call him Abba Father. He is our provider. And yet, repeatedly, we are anxious what will happen tomorrow. Sometimes I was distracted. I was like, you know, okay, what's next? I don't know what to do. And I was doing my house projects and things like that. And one of my friends was ministering to me and said, listen, are you sitting down and trying to listen to what God is trying to say? Maybe I'm not. I wasn't listening enough. I was so busy with my life. He's like, you know what? I need to take your job away now. I need to take your business away so that you would sit in my presence and hear me. It's like when the child is so busy, you know, we're calling them for dinner. They don't want to come. They're playing with their toy. You take the toy away. So they will listen to you. And those, I want to share this encouragement. If you are in that season of not knowing what's next, don't lose hope. Do not lose hope. His mercy and his goodness is following you. He already knows what he needs. He's providing for you. All he wants you to sit down in his presence and say, here I am, Lord. Jesus in John chapter 10 verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he continues in that passage itself. He's like, you know, if somebody is a hired guy, when he sees danger, he will leave the sheep and run away. But a good shepherd will put himself first. Looking back, we don't deserve the shepherd. We sinned. Sin was in our nature. We were born in sin. Yet Jesus decided to die on the cross to pay. Sinless lamb was slain to bring us redemption, because he is a good shepherd. And he laid down his life for us, the sheep.